Did you know you have the choice whether or not to be blessed? Learn how as we join Kenneth Copeland from the Southwest Believers Convention next on the Believer's Voice of Victory.
Go to the book of Job.
Now, chapter 1, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was perfect, or he was mature, he was upright, one that feared or highly reverenced God, and he eschewed evil. So now, this is a man also that has chosen the blessing, has he not? And he's chosen to walk with God. By the time Job came along, there was at least certain written elements of the covenant. He had an advantage over Joseph and the earlier men. And I don't have time to go into all the background of that. But here we see Job. By the time we get checked in on Job here, I mean, this man's been living in the blessing. We find out from studying the book of Job that he had a strong healing ministry. He had a strong miracle ministry. He was extremely wealthy. He was the wealthiest man in the East. And the reason for the attack, God wasn't trying to teach him something. God had already taught him things. That's the reason he's blessed. God wasn't trying to teach him something by sicking the devil on it. The devil ain't the teacher of the church, never has been, never will be. The Holy Ghost is the teacher of the church. And if you'll go find out what Jesus said about it, I like what Jesus said about it. You know, Keith Moore was discussing this, and it really blessed me. Keith's ministry blesses me, and he's got a lot of insight. And I get around him. I pick him for all his worth, man. Praise the Lord. And I get his sermons and then preach them just as fast as I can. So, you know, I heard Keith say this, and it really bears repeating. He said, someone comes along. He says, well, now, Dr. So-and-so's position on this is such and such. And then Professor Doodad, his position on this is such and such. But then over here in this camp, you know, who cares? I don't care what your ideas are. I could care less what your ideas are. When Jesus has said something, when I have a statement written in red, do I care what you or me or anybody else thinks about it? I don't care what Professor Doodad's position is on it. Position yourself over there on that red verse, brother. Praise God. That settles it. That is it right there. That's the end of it. See? Now, Jesus said, persecution arises for the word's sake. Satan is out to stop it. And that's what was happening right here. This man is walking in that blessing. He's become the richest man in the East. I mean, it's all outlined here, and God was kind enough to us to give us his resume and show us what the blessing had done in his life. It's amazing. There were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she-asses, very great household. Very great household. I'd kind of like to have seen his home place, wouldn't you? Amen. Very great household. Well, can you see what's going on here? Satan wanted that. This man is influencing the whole East. He's the biggest word. He's the biggest voice in that whole part of the world. And he wants to tear him down. He wants to bring him down. Satan wants that money. He wants all that cattle. If he can't have it, he wants to kill it. Come on. That's the way he is. He's a thief. He's a murderer and a destroyer. And don't ever give him any credit for anything else. Don't give him any place. Now, and then it goes on and on about all these things that he had. Now, somebody comes up and says, Brother Copeland, I just don't understand it. Here's all these great and wonderful scriptures that Jesus watches over his word to perform it in Jeremiah 1:12 and Psalms 119:81. The word of God, talking about the written word, is settled forever. In Psalm 138, the word is magnified even above his name. My. And we read last night that this written word, the scripture, is a more sure word of prophetic utterance than from heaven than hearing the very audible voice of God Almighty himself. And Peter had experienced both. And he said, this is greater. And he said, it's of no private interpretation. Amen. Amen. That's the reason why it's so fabulous. If you've got a copy of it, you can believe it. You can stand on it. Praise the Lord. You can walk in it. You can be blessed as anybody should be. Amen. Amen. Now, I know that, Brother Copeland. Now, this sure word and my all of these wonderful things. What is it then that's keeping me from receiving? Job did not have to go through all that. Neither do you. Now then, here we are. The curse. Satan wants this thing. He's been trying his best to get in there. And back in those days, he does not have this privilege anymore. Back in those days, from time to time, he could get audience with God because he had Adam's crown. He was walking in Adam's authority. And he said to God, well, I mean, does the man worship you for nothing? You've built a wall around him. He's trying to get in there and couldn't get in. He called it a hedge. Amen. Something was keeping him out. He's trying to find a hole in here. And he don't, at this time, he doesn't know that there's a hole in it. There is. Job had ruptured it, but he didn't know it. Satan's not all that sharp. He don't know anything till you shoot your mouth off. The only thing he knows what you fell for in times past, and he figures you'll fall for the same stupid thing again, and most people do. Keep your mouth shut. Like Gloria said, don't let him see you sweat. Keep your mouth shut. Amen. Until it comes time to just unload on him. Run him off. Run him out of there. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Now, he comes to God, and he says to God, you put your hand against him. Listen. And he'll curse you to your face. Now, that is the sin that Satan was after. That's what he's trying to get. In his thinking, in his mind, this is what it's going to take to break this old man down. All right. Now, hang on to that. This is vital information. He said he'll curse you to your face. When God then spoke, he said, no, I won't. Satan asked him to do it. He asked him to put his hand on me, and he said, I'm not going to do it. Now, why would people come up and say God brought this on Job when all the time God refused to do it?
Amen. Yes, sir.
Now, here was the key. Here's the key to it. God said to Satan, God ain't going to lie to Satan or anybody else, for you or anybody else. And God said, behold. You know what behold means? That's not a religious word. It means look. I looked it up in every concordance I could find, in every language I could find, and it all means the same thing. Look. Down here in Texas, we say, look at him. Heads up. Listen, look, he said, look, he is in your power. Well, you see there now, Brother Copeland, my position on this is that God turned him over to him. No, he didn't. He was already in his power. That's what look means. He said, look. He is in your power, but don't you touch his life. He hadn't gotten into unbelief where his life was concerned. Now, at this point, something very, very interesting. In this first chapter of Job, in the third verse, it was so, when the days of his children's feasting were gone about, Job sent and sanctified them, rose up early in the morning, and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all, for Job said, it may be my sons have sinned and cursed God in their heart. He picked it up. He picked up cursing God. See, that's what Satan was needing out of him. That's what he was after. That's what he told God that he would do. And Job picked it up. And he was afraid that they had cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. Now, let me ask you a question. Did he come to God and talk to God about this? No. God had taught him. He knew the sacrifice to make. He knew how to come before God in faith. But he didn't do that. He kept making the same sacrifice. He's sacrificing in fear, not in faith. Amen. And he kept doing it over and over and over and over. Oh, they're going to curse God in their heart. Every time they had a birthday, he got all shook up and he'd get them all. Well, why didn't he go over and teach them kids rather than just stay there at the house and cry and squall and bawl him out and curse God? That means he didn't have any confidence in his children, too. Well, that hadn't been developed either, had it? What was one of the prerequisites of walking in the blessing? Teaching your children. Well, this thing's coming apart, and he doesn't understand why it's coming apart. So, I want you to notice something else. Let's go down to the third chapter. There's a lot of things we could get into here, but I want to answer this question. Why did this happen to Job, and why are you not receiving? Why is it not working in your life like it should? You've got this powerful word. You're studying it. You're listening to it. And you're saying, well, you know, I believe God. I don't understand why this thing not working any better for me. How come I'm having to go through all this hell on earth I'm going through? Look at this. In verse 25. The thing which I greatly feared has come upon me. That which I was afraid of is come unto me. Now look at this 26th verse. I was not in safety, neither had I rest, neither was I quiet. Yet trouble came. Now, what has he just said? He thought because he was not in safety, he wouldn't allow himself to any rest. He's worried. He was not quiet. He's up every night. He's making these sacrifices over and over and over and over again. And I just don't understand it. Trouble came anyway. He thought he was being a responsible parent. And he was killing his children. Well, God, oh, Lord, oh, help me, God. Oh, God, my children are out there. Oh, God, I just know they're out there on dope. Oh, God, please protect them. Oh, don't let them curse God. Oh, God, why does this always happen to me? I don't know. And then your child comes in and you say, how could you do this to me? You think you're being a responsible parent and you're killing him. Amen. I know this is tough stuff to look in the face. But so is a coffin.
That's right. Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. And this is what happens. There wasn't any faith in that so-called prayer I was praying then. I had no faith in that. It wasn't even a prayer. It's just a moan and groan born out of fear and worry and doubt and unbelief. Where does doubt and unbelief come from? Well, the word said, by his stripes ye were healed. Well, I know it says that, Brother Copeland, but you know, now, where did all that thinking come from? That is a manifestation of fear. Fear is there. It's working. It's doing its job. It's creating faith in failure, not faith in healing. Are you hearing me?
Yes.
Now, it's there. It'll kill the blessing. Amen. It's no good. Now, well, you know, you don't want, I don't want to leave Job just hanging out there. God bless him. I'm telling you, he instead of cursing God, he got more determined. He was operating in an area where he didn't understand. And a lack of knowledge was killing him. But instead of going to God for wisdom, he's trying to figure it out. He's doing this thing according to the way it looked right to him. But man, he finally got serious with God. This thing is really getting rough. Well, then, of course, some of his good friends come over to see him. Dear Lord. Oh, man. With friends like that, you don't even need the devil. I've seen this manifested over the years of just heartbreaking things. I'm thinking about a deal right now. A woman I ministered to a number of times. Sweet lady. And she had cancer. And I went over there the first time I saw her, and she had wanted prayer, and I went to her and laid hands on her and ministered to her and prayed over her. And I mean, the power of God hit us. I mean, it hit her, and she immediately, I mean, she was noticeably helped and stronger immediately. And this thing started just turning right then. Well, I was gone for several weeks and came back. And I called to check on her and rejoiced with her, and she's right back like she was. Well, I ministered to her again. Same thing happened again. And the same thing happened again. I got back, and she was in the same mess again. This happened several times. And I said, Lord, what in the world is going on here? So she was on her deathbed. And I did not want to lose this thing. I started back over there, and the Lord said, No, don't do it. She's suffering so. He said, just release her. Let her come on home to me. I said, Lord, I don't like to lose. He said, I don't either. It's not my will that it happen. But there's things going on you don't know about. Mm. And I said, okay. In the name of Jesus. And I released her. And when I released her, she was gone within 15 minutes after that. Well, come to find out, there was a group of people that were going over there. Every time I'd go over, they would follow me in there to make sure she didn't get messed up with that faith bunch. And they took the doubt and the unbelief and the darkness right back in there. And each time she got a little worse. Each time she was in a little more pain. And it really was against her will, but she didn't have strength enough to come against it. And her husband was zero help. In fact, if it was a minus, he was it. And I mean, it's just, and that's the reason the Lord said, don't hold on to her any longer. Don't hold on to her. Let her go. Well, and I turned her loose. Obviously, I was the only one hanging on to her, you know. And I turned her loose, and she just slipped right on out. And it was a rejoicing thing. Praise God. Now, God made his move. I love it. I mean, these guys, I mean, they're beating old Job up. I mean, they're going around and around. They're bringing a lot of theology and a lot of hogwash in there. All kinds of arguments and this and that and the other, you know. But God had a young man. Thank God for young men that are... And this young man kept his mouth shut for a long time because these guys were his elders. But he finally had all of this he wanted to hear. And he said, "You men, forgive me. I know I'm a young man. But shut up and sit down." I mean, he went to laying it on the line and he preached the gospel right there. And on the wings of that word of the blessing, on the wings of that fearless delivery, God began to move and God started talking in there. And he told these guys, he said, "You have spoken wrongly of me. I didn't do this." He said, "The only way you're ever going to get forgiven for it is if perhaps my servant Job will do a sacrifice for you." And Job decided, "Well, maybe I better get to work here. Maybe I better quit feeling sorry for myself and forgive these guys and get on back in." And what happened? The first thing he did in faith, the blessing went back into operation and that wall went back up. And Satan got handed his head on a platter. And Job did not curse God. Isn't that good? Hallelujah. Give the Lord a praise.
Now tonight, would you welcome the Strand of Pearl?
New from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Join Kelly Copeland along with Kenneth and Gloria's granddaughters, Jenny Coots, Aubrey Pearsons, and Lindsay and Rachel Ward.
Hallelujah, I'm ready.
I'm ready.
Hallelujah,
I can hear the voices singing soft and low.
Hear songs such as Amazing Grace.
Amazing Grace.
In the Sweet By and By.
In the Sweet By and By.
When the Roll is Called Up Yonder.
When the Roll.
In the garden.
And he walks with me and he talks with me.
Lift up the Lord with these classic hymns and joyful spirituals. Strand of Pearls is a musical experience you won't want to miss. Order the new CD Strand of Pearls today for only $9.98. Log on to our website at kcm.org and order online. Or call toll-free 800-575-4455. Or write to Kenneth Copeland. The address is simply Fort Worth, Texas, 76192. Strand of Pearls is a collection of uplifting bluegrass hymns and spiritual songs, and also is a great gift idea. Order several copies and give them to your family and friends this Christmas.
You have to choose to walk with God. You have to choose to walk in the blessing. And you know what? That's choosing to be obedient to the Lord. The Holy Ghost is on the inside of us to teach us, to tell us what to do. To tell us, do this, do that. Don't do this, don't do that. You know, let me just remind you today that the devil hates your guts. The Word says that he came to kill, steal, and destroy. He didn't come to do, those are the things that he does. And that's what he's trying to work in your life. So don't listen to him. Don't do what he says. Do what God says. Teach your children to be obedient to you, not because they're bugging you when they're not, but because if they're obedient, the blessing will come into their life. Teach them to be obedient because, you know, the devil hates them too, just like he hates you. So teach them to obey. And when we obey, we walk in the blessing. Amen. Just like, you know, the devil hated Job. Job, the story of Job tells you how much the devil hates you. It's when Job connected with faith to the plan of God, he was delivered. When he got rid of fear, he was walking in fear, he was delivered, and the blessing came just like that. And it'll happen in your life too. This is not something that we try. This kind of lifestyle is not something you try today and you give up on it tomorrow and you get results that way, huh? You, from the moment you ask Jesus into your heart, you begin to obey. You begin to grow. You begin to learn. You begin to hear from the Holy Spirit inside you, and your life will change. If you've never done that, if you've never asked Him into your heart, pray with me today. It's so simple. He'll come right in and he'll change your life if you let him. Just say this. Say, Father, thank you for sending Jesus to pay the price for my sin. Say, I believe that Jesus died and that he rose again. Say, Jesus, come into my heart. Take my life. I believe that you're my Savior. I believe that you live in me now. And I believe that you paid the price for sin and I'm forgiven. In Jesus' name, amen. It is that simple. It's just the walking out of it. Now you need a little information. You need to know what God has to say about you. Well, to help you with that, we have a free salvation package. It's 5 books and a brochure about how to study the Bible. All you have to do is just let us know that you got saved and we'll send it right out to you free. Our offer this week is Strand of Pearls. You're going to enjoy this CD, so order it today. It's a bluegrass CD. We're kind of proud of it, the girls and I. Thank you for joining us today. This is Kelly Copeland reminding you that Jesus is Lord.
This is the Year of the Open Door, and Kenneth Copeland Ministries is here for you. For more information on this broadcast, today's product offer, or other ministry tools and resources, visit our website at kcm.org. You may also call toll-free 800-575-4455 or write to Kenneth Copeland, Fort Worth, Texas 76192. As we celebrate 40 years of ministry, we believe for God's plan in your life and that you will walk through the open door of the blessing this year.
Now I am found, was blind.